Welcome everyone, it's just after 6, so we'll open our ordinary council meeting for August. So mind you, nyalak katij nicho puja bal, wajak nunga muja puja nyalak nining. So we know that we're gathered here on the land of the Wajak Nunga people, always was, always will be, and just want to pay our respects to the Wajak people, past, present and emerging. So just bring everyone's attention to the fact that our meeting tonight, as always, is being recorded but also live streamed to allow members of our community to access the decisions that affect them in the town of Bassendean. Just a couple of announcements from myself. So first of all, this weekend we are recommencing the Old Perth Road markets, which is fantastic. We had a bit of a pause during COVID, but now that the restrictions are eased, we can recommence that event and allow our community to come back together to celebrate all that is Bassendean. It's also the 10th anniversary of the market, so it'd be great to encourage as many people to come down and share that experience as possible. And important announcement, happy birthday to Councillor Chris Barty this evening. Thank you for spending your birthday evening with us tonight. Attendances, apologies and applications for leave. We have everybody here with us tonight, but are there any applications for leave? Councillor Hamilton?
From the 26th of September through to the 30th of September.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, I'm happy to move that Council accepts that. Is there a seconder? Councillor Quinton, all those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you, everybody. Any declarations of interest from councillors for items on tonight's agenda? Okay, great. We'll move on to item 5 then, which is deputation. So we've got a couple of people who would like to give deputations this evening. Both of them are on item 12.7, which is in relation to the draft policy for development in the floodway. So first of all, I'd like to invite Mr. Craig Lacanis to come and take a seat at the table, Mr. Lacanis. So as I mentioned before, you've got up to 10 minutes. I'll pop the timer on just so we can keep track of that.
Okay.
And after that, if councillors wish to ask questions, they may do so. Is that all? Welcome.
Thank you very much. Okay, I just intend to read... because it's a fairly complex issue and I just want to keep it as concise as possible by reading a prepared statement here. The proposed amended draft of LPP4 is being prematurely put to public comment before proper consideration by Council of the needs of the town and interrogation of the proposed amendments. If it is put now to the public, Council will have led it to ignore both the needs of the town and development rights of targeted landowners in the floodplain, while failing to alert others, i.e. flood fringe landowners, that planning in the town is to be surrendered to DEWA and DFES and other agencies. These agencies have separate recourse to oppose development applications without the town directly surrendering its needs and vision to their vagaries and demands. DFES' preposterous requirement that the floodway, which is merely separated from the flood fringe by an indiscriminate line drawn through floodwater, be filled or levied for development, should be extrapolated to its prospective stance on most floodplain development. A large area of the town was in floodplain, and much remains so following EMRC's new projections of considerably lower flood levels. Residents have lived and developed with floods as a fact of life without a single resident or emergency worker fatality in the entire history of the town. Yet, DEWA, in hand with DFES, is intending to constrict development in the floodplain generally. In making the next 4 points, I just highlight that there are several factors by which the floodway is assessed, and three of them are the ones I wish to address, local planning needs, social factors, and risk, hazard, likely effects of future development, access and isolation issues. So to the first point, defining the flood fringe simply as a part of the floodplain where development is acceptable is a device to exclude development in the floodway without a replacement for the defunct justification in the existing policy, i.e. that development in the floodway as it stands raises upstream flood levels. DEWA has no new justification, so defers to DFIS, with which it is now working hand in glove to exert control over development in Bassendean. This is like unlike any other jurisdiction along the Swan River, including the City of Perth and regarding the building of Elizabeth Quay, for example, or to my knowledge anywhere in Australia. Point two, the methodology devised and employed by DEWA to identify a floodway did not consider local planning needs, other than to note that intensification of land use is not necessary to meet the town's infill targets. The town must guard its independence and self-determination via its own planning process, which has determined that floodway lots should be subdividable through R5 zoning. Associated considerations, such as the improvement of aesthetic amenity of a dishevelled precinct down by the floodway, or increasing the ratepayer base, are examples of what the town might aspire to from mild development, but this is completely ignored by DEWA. Point three, in DEWA's determination of the floodway boundary, the town was not consulted regarding social factors, including inequitable treatment of landowners. Likewise, any appetite for risk, hazard, likely effects of future development, or lack thereof, access and isolation issues were assessed without council's input. Furthermore, BMT, the consultant to the EMRC study, was precluded specifically by DEWA from determining a correct placement of the floodway, with DEWA's position simply adopted in the final EMRC report without independent inspection. This placement resulted in selective denial of development rights to landowners caught by DEWA's assessment, despite equivalence with flood fringe properties. Council did not intend this, as clearly evidenced by its resolution in 2017 to support development in the floodway after DEWA accepted the debunking of the justification for opposing it. For reasons resting in the Development Office, LPP4 was not subsequently amended to reflect the resolution. Now is an opportunity for Council to rectify this in the extra knowledge that flood projections are even more benign than existed in 2017. Point four. All floodplain residents are isolated to varying degrees by a 1 in 100 year flood. DEWA, in hand with DFES, maintains an intention to oppose subdivision in the flood fringe by reclassifying it to floodway. DEWA's intention may now be materialising with the cooperation of the town's development office. If the office is supportive of this, actively or otherwise, then council and landowners must be informed immediately. If unsupportive, it has displayed considerable duplicity in outlook upon the application of standards to floodway properties relating to risk, hazard, likely effects of future development, and access and isolation. Those are the four points. Now, we'll complete it with an overview. Will Council support the equitable incorporation of floodway properties into the flood fringe, so reclassifying them for development acceptance under LPP4? Or perhaps it will support reclassification of parts of the flood fringe to floodway to constrict development there, as intended by DEWA. Just as some choose to live with acceptable fire or cyclonic risk, so people of the Bassendean floodplain choose to live and aspire to develop within acceptable flood risk. Why surrender this carte blanche? It should be defended by council, not ceded to outside agencies to discriminate as they please. They each have recourse to defend their input through WAPC and appeal processes. They do not need the town's enabling against its own ratepayers. A display of courage, leadership and aspiration to improve the town while ensuring floodplain landowners are treated equitably is needed. We are seeking council's defence of many families and ratepayers who are and will be affected by what is being suggested. This requires amending the deficient LPP4 draft to enshrine certainty and equality before it goes to public comment. I have some notes, and these notes pertain to claims, if you would, that I've made here, and the notes are three. DFS's evidence in the SAT, which has been transcribed, stated its opposition to development in the floodplain. Flat, simple, not degrees of, the floodplain. Two, documentation from DEWA can be furnished, A, acknowledging the equivalence of risk, hazard, likely effects of future development, access and isolation in the floodway and flood fringe areas. And this is despite contrary evidence it gave in SAT, which significantly swayed the member's judgment of Mr. Bethune's application. And B, from DEWA, can furnish documentation stating an intent to reclassify parts of the flood fringe to floodway. Third note, we have documentation from BMT to support the claim that it was precluded from a floodway redetermination by DEWA. So I finish there, and I would invite any questions, or you could wait until Mr. Bethune has presented and then ask us together. I'm happy, Madam Mayor.
Well, let's give councillors the opportunity to ask you some questions if they'd like to. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. So you mentioned in your presentation that ratepayers in the floodway will be affected, but you didn't really elaborate exactly how it is that you'd be affected. So would you like to explain specifically what effect would be had should this policy be adopted unamended?
Well, we directly, there's no mention of the possibility of development in the floodway. There's no mention of reclassification of floodway to flood fringe. Presently, there's a line through the floodplain which divides through the water that is just indiscriminately drawn that separates the floodway from the flood fringe, and we believe that we have similar circumstances if you consider the entire flood fringe, not only the southern but the northern flood fringe. There are two parts to it, and we seek equitable outcomes given that our circumstances are the same as that exist in the flood fringe.
So specifically, what sort of development would you like to do that you would be prohibited from doing?
In my case, I have an R5 zoning. I could subdivide and build an extra dwelling, and that's my personal situation. Across the road from me, and I've lived here for 20 years, vacant blocks still awaiting something to happen from the council end to allow them to turn it into something which is more aesthetically acceptable than what I would think is presently.
Aesthetically acceptable or more profitable?
Well, obviously both. But, you know, you have to give incentive for people to make the area more presentable and aesthetically pleasing. At the moment, you have 2-acre blocks which are not capable of having anything other than a single house. And for obviously the last 20 years have demonstrated that nobody wants to develop them along those lines. Nobody wants a 2-acre garden. And that's the case in where the flood water would be up to just above your knees in a 100-year flood. And there are circumstances in the flood fringe which are you're up to your neck. So we've never been able to quite work out why after the EMRC report was presented, that there wasn't some recalculation of the floodway. It was just it was established that it was just not going to move, come what may, whatever the facts.
So, as you can see in the photo behind you there, that strip of properties along the river, most if not all of them, I believe, have single dwellings on them, which suggests to me that it is desirable, at least for some people, to have a single house on a large property.
Yes.
Could it just be the case that people, as an investment decision, are hedging against the possibility that they might be able to develop more intensely?
I don't know what's in the mind. I do know that that the people who, the people I know who have purchased along there, they have sought to subdivide and have failed. And one was actually successful, which is Lettuce here, and that has since fallen into dilapidation through family circumstances of that applicant. And I know that he wanted to build an extra house for his daughter. I'll let Mr. Bethune speak for himself. We're talking R5 development here. We're talking about nearly 2,500 metre lots. I mean, that's still large lots, you know, and it's very mild development. And to get people to have some pride in what they're trying to do, you're more likely going to find people who are willing to do that on smaller lots than exist there. 2 acres is just too much for anybody to want to do anything to beautify the area. All you could really do to benefit Bassendean would build a wall so nobody can see behind it. At the moment, there's an unkempt fence and barbed wire and rusty gates, and it's been like that for 20 years. And not to mention the fact that the town would get something from it too in terms of rates, but I don't want that to be... I'm not trying to push that. I'm just saying it's an area that the town has not been allowed to have input into because DEWA has completely taken control of this. It's railroaded this into its own ends, and we don't understand why when the facts have changed.
Do you have another question, Councillor Wilson? Any other councillors? Councillor Hamilton.
Clearly, there's a distinction between the floodway and the flood fringe, and your property's in the floodway, from my understanding. My understanding as well is that the treatment of development in those two areas is distinctly different and treated differently. And I also, and correct me if I'm wrong, I also believe that any development application in the floodway inevitably goes before DEWA anyway. Is that correct?
In the floodway, what happened initially? Yes, it always goes before DEWA,
yeah.
Yes.
Right.
In the floodway, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Hamilton, maybe we can get our staff to clarify any process when we come to this agenda item so that we get the official process?
Yep. Okay.
Other councillors?
I do have one more.
Yes,
Councillor Hamilton.
Correct me if I'm wrong, 2 landowners from that area have been before DEWA previously?
Yes.
Yourself?
Yes. I've made an application and was refused. Mr. Bethune has and was refused. And Mr. Ron Ahurst had his application accepted through the mediation process. The SAT mediation process, it never actually went to a ruling by SAT because DEWA accepted the fact that the placement of any buildings were not going to affect people upriver. I wouldn't be sitting here if I thought they would. I do believe that in science, and I do believe that if there is going to be any restriction or any impact upriver, that I wouldn't be sitting here wanting to change that. I would have stopped all of this several years ago.
So, my final question is: if DEWA have these criteria, and any development application in that area has to go before DEWA anyway, I'm not entirely sure how council can influence or have position on that, because they're clearly floodway property applications go before DEWA as the final deciding body.
They do, and what we're saying is that the council shouldn't enable DEWA, the council should enable its ratepayers to make the running. I mean, DEWA already has power, it has access. Ratepayers don't. And if we make an application for a development and the council knocks it on the head, well, it's basically at its end because there's no other avenue. We seek some support, and I believe that the town should be giving it, and I don't believe that the town should be the ones who are the arbiter of the input from DEWA and from DFES. I think that that's the job of WAPC and its appeal processes.
Councillor Gander, did you have a question from Mr.
Yes,
Lukanis?
Thank you, Your Worship. Mr. Lukanis, just want to clarify, what you're seeking from the town tonight is purely and simply for the town to uphold its own planning scheme and allow the residents to develop, as it currently states in the planning scheme under zoning, the classification of R5. You're not looking to upcode the zoning to get more development. You're simply wanting the council to adhere to its own planning scheme. Is that correct?
Well, yes, but the planning scheme was never amended or adjusted or addended when the council made its last decision on this, which was before the EMRC report significantly reduced flood levels, projected flood levels. So what I'm asking, as I have written here, is that the council do allow subdivision in the floodway according to the R5 code as it exists. And what would be a better thing, if it wants to have a coherent policy, is to reclassify the residences in the floodway as flood fringe, as it should be, according to the standards that have already been set for flood fringe. And we fit well within those parameters, and yet here we are. We can't develop simply because what's currently proposed is that the flood fringe should simply be a place where development can be accepted, where there's no mention of why not in the flood way, and no scientific basis given for why not, whereas previously in the present policy there's a statement to the effect of why there should be no development in the flood way. Well, that's disappeared. That factor has disappeared.
Thanks, Mr. Lukanis. We might give Mr. Bethune an opportunity to come and speak to this item as well. Thank you for your time this evening.
Do I need to table a copy of what I've said?
No, that's not necessary, but if you did want to provide a copy, that's fine as well. Deanie will take it off your hands. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. Welcome, Mr. Bethune.
Thanks, Mayor and Councillors, for giving me the opportunity to come along tonight to justify a case for deferring the issuing of the LPP advertising until we've heard this out. And so I think probably it's better to inform the councillors of the sequence of events leading up to this motion, and I'll read them because I wasn't very good at doing my lines at school. So the sequence of events up until now was that in 2016 there was an approval of a West Road subdivision, which Craig's already spoken about with Ron Ahurst across the road from me. That didn't go ahead for various reasons. But after that happened, there was a flurry of activity by the then town executive and DEWA to stop any further subdivision, started with a failed rezoning attempt, which some councillors may remember. And there was an omission then after that to amend LPP4 to reflect the council's supporting of development in the West Road floodway, which some councillors would remember. Now, to find another reason to oppose subdivision, DEWA admitted it had no hydrological basis to oppose subdivision, so it introduced safety requirements, thereby deferring to DFES, which said it opposes any development in the floodplain, which includes the flood fringe. Brian Reed at the time, and in response to my subdivision application, said to me, "You won't get around this one." And he's right, because DFES have said that a rescue or of residents that decided not to stay after the flood, or to stay in the building after the flood, then decided afterwards to go, obviously puts them at some level of danger. But DFS have admitted now to me that that in our area is an acceptable risk, even though they're saying now that there should be a wall built and the road filled. In everything, there has to be an acceptable risk. But, of course, there's the DFS reason is undecidable. So DWA now had... They were off the hook because they had no scientific reason to oppose it, and so they now defer to DFS. Now, BMT, the MRC consultants, the ones that did the first MRC report, they were retained by me at considerable expense to compare two comparable areas in the flood fringe with the West Road, South Road. And it was clear, it was clearly shown in that study, which your executive has, that the West Road area was considerably more benign than these areas. That's Bassendean Parade and Highland Street, which are very comparable to West Road. And now these streets have only recently been confirmed by DWA as meeting current criteria as flood fringe. DWA redrew the boundaries after the EMRC report, and in those boundaries, these streets remained as being flood fringe. Now, instead of accepting the fact that West Road South Floodway more than qualifies as flood fringe, DWA are now going back on their current redrawn flood fringe as meeting current criteria, and to inform development decisions. Now say that both areas should be classified as floodway, and they're working with the town to resolve the mapping. And this is not just from the back room. This is signed off by the Director General. Now the draft amendment to LPP4 defines floodway. And it says, when the river breaks its bank and the river slowly converges on, and the river converges into a main stream after it's broken its banks. Well, it's wrong. When the river breaks its banks down in the West Road area, the river slowly converges on West Road from the west, not from the main flow. And it's in the form of an eddy, and it doesn't form the main flow path for the floodwaters, and that was confirmed by BMT, and that it should not be regarded as part of the floodway by hydraulic definition. It should be included as a flood fringe, and that definition includes depth, hazards and evacuation constraints. Now, I know this doesn't justify delaying the advertisement of the amendment, but it just points out that the definition that's shown in the draft doesn't apply to West Road. Now, it doesn't point out the flood fringe residents and prospective property developers that because of DWA's involvement of DFS as the final arbiter, both agencies are now going to be consulted when a flood fringe subdivision or development is received, and their advice will be accepted, and as it was said to me, as has been traditionally done. Well, DFS have clearly stated that it opposes any floodplain development. So I dare say flood fringe residents don't know this, and do the council know this? That's the thrust of what I'm saying, is that this opposition by DFS, who have been put into the position now of arbiters, are opposing any development, and that includes flood fringe. Now, this places the council in the position of not being in position for full facts when asked to vote on floodplain issues, and having the validly supported interests of its residents being dictated by agencies with self-serving agendas, far from being an interest in the future of the Bassendean floodplain. A glaring example of this is DWA's action in not altering the floodway boundaries 1 centimetre post the EMRC report, even though the flood fringe boundaries were substantially reduced and the expected water levels were reduced by a metre. This baffled both BMT and JDA hydrologists, who were specifically excluded by DWA, as Craig has pointed out, from advising on boundaries, and for obvious reasons. So do I read through the boundaries, not BMT or JDO, and excluded any alteration at all of the floodway? Now, I respectfully suggest that the Council defer submitting the draft LPP4 amendment for public comment until the draft addresses and includes facts that the public would not be aware of, and Council, I would dare to say, would not be aware of. A couple of examples are approval of flood fringe development, which will be dictated by DFS, and this fact has not been included in the definition of flood fringe in the draft amendment. Further, section 6.2 of the amendment also does not inform the public about the negative involvement of DFS in the development decision process, but uses the words generally and maybe in anticipation of the negative DFS involvement and eventual veto. That's it.
Thank you. I just had a question. Wait, just let me turn my timer off so it doesn't interrupt us. When we spoke last week, you mentioned that you were having some conversations with DFS, I believe it was, yourself, about the possibility of them, their support or otherwise, for ancillary developments. Have you had that conversation with them?
I've submitted about a 15-page submission to them, to the Commissioner, and I haven't yet received a reply, but it's been received and being considered. And of course, as soon as I receive any of these replies or any of these studies, I forward them on to Christian Buttle so that he's fully informed. There's nothing I get that he doesn't know about. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I get it, I'll forward it on.
And my other question was in relation to, obviously, the item on tonight's agenda is just for advertising the proposed policy, not adopting a policy. And my understanding is that through that process of advertising, it will go to DFS and DEWA, and they'll have the opportunity to comment. I imagine that would be an opportunity for us to clarify some of these issues and get feedback from them if they are looking at, you mentioned reclassifying the flood fringe and the floodway and so on. It may be a mechanism for us to get some of the clarity that you're seeking.
What I'm suggesting and saying is that the people in the flood fringe will be consulted, and when they are, if they read the amendment as it stands now, there are quite a number of anomalies and also missed information that they should know that they would have no way of knowing. For example, the involvement of DFS in the approval process, with DFS objecting across the board for any floodplain development. Flood fringe wouldn't know about that. Council wouldn't know about that. I don't think so, anyhow.
Well, the report does clarify that, but I guess it depends on what information was provided with the draft policy. That could be something that could be included, I imagine. Do other councillors have questions for Mr. Bethune? Councillor Wilson.
I do. Thank you, Your Worship. So you made mention before about DFS's position, and you said that DFS opposed further development or subdivision of the land, full stop. The advice that I've got before me here from the officer's report then goes on to add a bit more information. It says DFES opposed further development and or subdivision of land within the floodway and advised that this position will be held unless satisfactory arrangements could be put in place to allow safe access and egress from the floodland to the flood fringe.
Correct.
So does that align with your understanding?
No, but DFES object to any development or subdivision in the floodplain. And that evidence was given in their witness statement and in their evidence at my SAT hearing.
Okay, so the language that's used here in this officer's report talks about floodway and flood fringe. So your understanding of floodplain, does that encompass both of those?
Yes.
Yes. It then goes on to say, in this respect, the only possible way for this to be achieved would involve filling the entirety of the floodway or constructing a levee around the land within the floodway. Is that consistent with what you've been given to understand?
That's my understanding of what they suggest as being their minimum requirement. Yep. And that is the subject of my submission to DFS now to the Commissioner. It's to build a bung wall over parks and roads. It's just not practical. And it's not feasible to be filling the whole area.
And so, just to be clear, what is the outcome that you're seeking? What is the preferred approach that you would like to see Council take?
For them to accept my submission as to what a minimal or an acceptable risk is.
Right, and in order to allow you to subdivide the land, do a particular type of development? What's the...
No, because my submission to them wasn't in relation to subdivision. After all the process I went through... Now, I'll go back. The reason I wanted to subdivide was so that I could build a cottage on the subdivided rock to accommodate my wife and myself, and my daughter would move into the main house, thinking subdivision was the way to go. And also I was influenced by the fact that at the time the subdivision was approved across the road from me, and so I thought, well, this is the way to go. Subsequently, I've applied I've submitted to count or to the Christian in the development to build a cottage, a granny flat, on the block.
As a ancillary dwelling.
So, to serve the same purpose. And DFS have objected to that on the basis of, people deciding to want to be rescued after the flood, even though they'll have 48 hours or more warning. The road out of West Road is only just up to waist deep at the worst point. They still object, and they want to build the wall or so on. So I've appealed to the commissioner and asking him to review that decision on the basis that it's, well, quite ludicrous, and that is in the process at the moment.
Thanks very much.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Bethune.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, councillors, we'll move on to item 6, which is statements by members of the public. Is there anybody who would like to make a statement on any of the agenda items this evening? Okay, in that case, we'll move on to questions from members of the public. Mr. Watson, I believe.
Yeah.
You had a question that you would like to ask.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to stand up and just come to the microphone, that would be appreciated.
All right.
Is it on?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Is that microphone?
No. It's for recording, not projection.
Ah, right. Okay, before I start, I'd just like to say that accidents happen, and that's why I feel we're insured. But I have a claim at the moment against the council's insurer caused by a falling tree at number 3 Hiding Street, Bassendean. I'm asking the council, in this case, I'm asking, will the council accept negligence for the damage caused? I have forwarded you most of the information regards to the claim so far. I mean, I've inquired at Parks and Gardeners as how to... how is the maintenance of the trees kept up? They were going to get back to me, as to the end, they haven't. The neighbour at number 1 Hiding Street, who's lived there for 18 years, informed me that the trees have been leaning over for a very long time. For the last 3 years, have been nearly touching the garden at number 3 Hiding Street. I've asked the insurers if there's any time frame I should be looking for to make a successful claim, i.e. the length of time the trees had to be in a position before negligence is proved. They have left me still guessing. I realise that this is a lot to ponder on short notice, but would appreciate any help I can get from the council. Why have there been no complaints about the trees? I can only assume that as a rental property, the tree did not stop access to the house. The owners of the house were not aware. Local people got used to ducking under the tree and walking on, along the path. Do you want me to take questions on that? I mean, you've all seen the literature going round?
I'm not sure if councillors have received the literature. I'm aware that our staff have seen the information that you've sent through.
Did you want me to show a couple of pictures? Pass it around, they can look at.
You feel free to pass them around, but maybe they can be
seen. Just to see, in your opinion, I'm looking for sort of help in the past. When would you sort of think, how long has that got to be like that before someone says that's dangerous?
So, Mr. Watson, I know that you're having a quick chat with our CEO, Ms. Mabbs, before the meeting, and I know that the suggestion was made that possibly you might like to sit down with her and maybe Mr. Adams, who's responsible for our street trees, and have a conversation about how we might be able to best progress the concerns that you've raised. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
I'm just looking at the photos. Mr. Watson says that there's probably a couple of issues. They're probably not our best examples of prolifically growing healthy street trees.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we would all drove past them and just glanced and thought, and a lot of situations, think, oh, you'll see walls around Bass and Dean, that's coming over, but it's not my problem, I sort of, until it becomes your problem, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Situations, not, other walls all around the world, sort of can go over, and accidents happen. I've got no right of an accident happening, but it's just that I feel a little bit fucked off. But I just wanted to, I'm trying to put a stake of claim so I can get the insurance to sort of pay for the damage. Yeah. And I'm still struggling to find the parameters of what the time frame is for when you say, like, how long's the leaning tower of Pisa got to be like that before it doesn't become dangerous or is dangerous?
Yeah. Well, our LGIS, our insurers, have provided some advice, I understand, looking at the case notes through to you. And they've provided quite definitive advice in terms of liability. So I'm happy to sit down with you and go through that and explain what that means. And Phil can also be on hand just to talk about what can be done about the situation. But there are two distinct issues. One is the issue of liability and damages, but the other is about the quality of those street trees as well. So
they sort of stated that I've got to prove the council negligent.
That's correct.
For me to do that, I mean, I'm not a silk. I don't know the laws. I'm just asking, I've asked them on numerous occasions, I'm asking you now, what are the parameters? Is a tree got to be like that for 3 months, six months, a year? What am I aiming to prove?
Well, Mr. Watson, I've got your contact details, so if you like, I'll give you a call tomorrow and set up a time and arrange a meeting to go through it. We can get LGIS on the phone at the time and talk to them about how we might be able to progress.
Yeah, I appreciate that. As I explained to you, my mum's on sort of end of life care in England, and I'm sort of in the process of trying to get back to England in the, or maybe Sunday, Tuesday, whatever. I don't know what the time frame is. I just had a call from his brother now, so maybe I'm too late anyway. But I'll take, if you give me a call tomorrow, we can take it step by step.
We can do that.
The second question was, now I've become aware of the situation with the trees like that. I should say, with all the information sent about planting trees in Bass and Dean, is the council going to make the public fully aware of their liabilities as the falling branches and trees go? I would find it hard if you could find too many people in Bass and Dean who weren't under the assumption that if that tree falls down in my car, then that's the council's going to have to pay for that sort of thing. I mean, we all pay this insurance, it's ratepayer sort of thing. So I would think, right, that's partly my insurance, why can't I claim off that? But I would like to see, so because everyone I've talked to is like, you've got to be joking. And I'm as naive as anyone. I thought, all right, why should it be me forking out excess and not sort of the council, council's insurance taking care of it? But is there any way with all the information going out there? Because I think the public ought to be made aware, say, all right, if you choose to have a tree outside your, and you own a Lamborghini or something like that, and you park under there, do you know the risk you're taking? Because when it comes down, it's your excess that's going to sort of pay for it, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's not something that we have discussed promoting to the community, but it's definitely something we can have a conversation around. The town does make an effort to maintain all the trees to reduce the likelihood of those incidents occurring, and it's unfortunate, like in situations like you've experienced, when something does go wrong.
That's right. I mean, I was under the assumption we have a yearly trim, and people check the trees as they go round. I mean, like the next door neighbour says, they've been dealing with that for 3 years and she's been there 18 years and they've been gradually going over.
Did you want to add anything, Mr. Adams, at all on the trees? No? Maybe that's something that we can include in the conversation.
Okay, I just wanted to put it on there, but that's all right. But thank you for your time.
Thank you for raising it with us, and sorry to hear about your mum. It sounds like you've had a really tough year.
What I'm looking for is this, if I know what I've got to aim for, have a crack at getting the case approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Are there any other questions this evening?
Sorry, just quickly, I just want to acknowledge I may have a proximity interest in relation to item 12.7. My property is located within the flood fringe. Just a quick moment to check the map.
Would that be...
Check?
Yeah.
Can you imagine it?
All right, councillors, we'll move on then. So item 8 is petitions, so we don't have any this evening. So item 9 is confirmation of minutes from the previous council meeting. So 9.
Question, Your Worship.
Sorry, yes.
Question, Your Worship. Thank you. Thank you, Your Worship. I have a question just from one of the questions that were actually asked at the last council meeting. Now, we had a workshop some weeks ago now, I believe. And my understanding was we were going to bring a report back where we eventually found out where our town centre, whatever you want to refer to it as, will be located in the boundaries. I'm just wondering, now that it's been some weeks since Council had that workshop, will it be a number of weeks or months before we get that
progress? Before we answer your question, I'm so glad that you interrupted me then. I was just going to acknowledge there were a number of other questions that were submitted for tonight's meeting, but as the people who aren't present here tonight will respond to them in writing after the meeting. One of them was in relation to the topic that you just raised around the town centre. Are you able to give us an update of how that project is progressing? You've been on leave, so that's probably not very fair. Yes, Mr. Gibson.
Sorry, I was assisting the Councillor Barty, so I presume you were talking about
the town centre plan and
the definition of the boundary.
That's correct.
Yes, staff have been working with the consultant and the mayor since our Saturday workshop, and that has leveraged off the work we've been doing on the local planning strategy and local planning scheme, and based on the discussion we had on that Saturday session. So I'll suggest that that's something we could probably circulate to the council via the board.
And I think Councillor Gange was seeking to understand the next steps and when we would have something publicly available. Is that correct?
Thank you, Your Worship. So my understanding was it will come back to council to ratify whatever we want to refer to it as now, a town centre or whatever else we're calling it.
The project or the
Thank you. When we approved the $100,000 or $80,000, what it may have been in the budget, we didn't have a defined town centre outline. We had a workshop on it some weeks ago now on a Saturday where we came together to try and work out the defined town centre outline. My understanding was from that a report would then come back to council that would give us the town centre or suggested town centre outline and boundaries. So I'm just wondering when council will ratify that coming back to council to ultimately determine what the boundaries are within the town centre we're working with.
If it's the desire of council, Madam Mayor, we could bring that back for a decision. However, given the project is more strategic and overarching rather than being a designation of zones or specific provisions, that may not be necessary, but if it pleases council and if there's a desire to have a formal decision on the record setting up the geographic area of the project, that can be done.
Well, because I don't think there is any formal ratification of that area.
Okay.
At the present
so maybe point. That's a conversation that we can have. I believe the staff will be providing us something in the bulletin and then we can have a conversation as to whether or not we'd like that to come back to council. Any other questions on the minutes from the last meeting? Okay, in that case, do I have a mover for Officer Recommendation 9.1A that they receive? So Councillor Wilson moved, Councillor McWilliam seconded. Is there anybody against? So that is carried unanimously. And 9.1B that they're confirmed as a true record. Is there a mover for that? Councillor Wilson seconded. Councillor Hamilton? All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you, everyone. So business deferred from the previous meeting. We did have the industrial zone guidelines on the previous meeting, but that's now included in the main part of the agenda, so there is nothing under this item. Item 11 is the external committee reports. So we have the EMRC delegates report included for councillors' information. Do we have a mover to note that report? Councillor Hamilton seconded. Councillor Wilson. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Okay, councillors, so moving on to item 12, which is the reports. At the moment, I have the following coming out of en bloc. I have 12.3, 12.4, 12.5, 12.7, and 12.8. Are there any others that councillors would like taken out of en bloc? Okay, in that case, do I have a mover to carry the remainder? Councillor Wilson has moved, seconded. Councillor Barty, all those in favour? And that is carried unanimously. So we'll move on to 12.3. So this is the proposed tree preservation order for number 1442 North Road in Bassendean. First of all, are there any questions for the staff on this item? So So I wanted this out of en bloc because at the briefing session we had some discussion around point 3 of the officer recommendation, which relates to the requirement to undertake the maintenance that the arborist identified in their report. I'd like to propose an amendment where we delete point 3, so that council would be making the tree preservation orders but removing the requirement for that maintenance to be undertaken within the 90-day period that has been identified. Councillor Hamilton?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
Pertaining to your amendment, if the property changed hands, would the tree preservation orders continue when the property changes hands? But what I'm curious about is if we delete number 3, we delete the maintenance requirement for a new property owner. Would that be correct?
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes, that's correct. The TPO would endure with the property and basically apply to any subsequent owner.
So, would Madam Mayor consider making it applicable just for the current owner, and then after that, the maintenance conditions kick back in?
Can I just clarify? So, my understanding is we've had the arborist assess these trees. They've provided some advice about virtually what the gold standard is for tree maintenance on this property, which is a standard that's not likely to be achieved by other property owners in the town in many cases. Is that your understanding, that it's quite a high level of maintenance requirements, notwithstanding some of the lower level fire hazards which they need to address anyway?
Through you, Madam Mayor. The arborist recommends certain works be undertaken to ensure the livelihood and the health of the tree. That's not to say, however, that if the works are not undertaken, the tree will automatically suffer, but obviously to ensure the best future of the tree, the arborist in their specialised opinion suggests that does occur.
Okay, thank you. No, sorry, Councillor Hamilton. Are there any other questions? Okay, well, I'm happy to move with the amendment. Is there a seconder? Councillor Quinton, is that a seconding?
Yeah.
Is there anybody against? Okay, so that is carried unanimously. Thank you, everyone. So 12.4, this is the draft local planning policy relating to home-based businesses. Firstly, any questions? No? No questions? Then we have a mover for the officer recommendation. Councillor Wilson moved, Councillor Hamilton seconded. Anybody against? So that is carried unanimously. Item 12.5, this is the revocation of local planning policy number 18, landscaping with local plants. Any questions? Okay, we have a mover for the officer recommendation. Councillor Hamilton moved, Councillor McWilliams seconded. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. 12.7, so this is the draft amended local planning policy number 4, floodplain management and development, which we received the two deputations on. I have a number of questions for the staff on this one. First of all, Mr. Gibson, would you mind clarifying what the process is for a member of our community who wanted to develop or subdivide in that area?
Through you, Madam Mayor. I think it's worth differentiating the different approaches that are required for development versus subdivision. I know one of the gentlemen made a comment about the town approving subdivision applications. That's simply not the case. Subdivision applications are determined by the West Australian Planning Commission on the advice of the town and any other public authority that may have an interest, including DFES or DEWA. The town's role in that is simply advisory, and I suppose going back to the development application side of things, that application would be submitted directly to the town. The town does have an obligation under the delegation to the state government to refer it to DEWA, given the proximity of the river. Clearly, DEWA has a desire to also defer, in some cases, to DFES, so it would be good practice to simply refer to DFES as well. The town is thereafter obliged, if it is going to approve the application, to only do so if it is supported by DEWA as the statutory referral authority. If the town disagrees with DEWA's recommendation, the matter would simply be forwarded to the West Australian Planning Commission to make the decision and effectively arbitrate. So in terms of this, that town's decision-making role, it's advisory for the subdivision. and depending on the advice and the town's view of it, the DA, it may well be advisory in that case as well.
Thank you. Questions from other councillors?
I have proximity interest, so I'm...
Oh, he does have proximity interest?
Through Madam Mayor, Councillor Barty's located in the floodplain,
okay.
Flood fringe.
You might like to leave the room. Can you make sure you fill out one of the forms as well? Thank you. Questions? Okay, in this case we've got an officer recommendation. Do we have a move with the officer recommendation? Councillor Wilson, is there a seconder? Councillor Hamilton, is there anybody against? Councillor Gadgil?
Please exercise my right to speak.
Sorry?
Could I exercise my right to speak in moving the motion?
You've got someone against, so you have the opportunity to debate. Yes?
Thank you, Your Worship. Appreciative of the contributions made by members of the public who came and gave deputations today, and for the description of the ongoing battles they've had in various other forums, as I am, this motion merely seeks to circulate a document for public consultation and comment. So I'm quite happy that we have wording that is out in the public realm that people can provide considered written concrete positions on, and for that reason I'm happy to move the motion. I would note though that Council has a difficult task in balancing many competing interests in this area. The words self-serving agendas were used a couple of times during the deputations, but councillors would understand that every agenda is in some way self-serving. It just depends on whose interests it serves. So whilst I have a very open mind to what all of the consultation and public comment process brings up, and we'll consider it all in detail, I would ask people to be mindful of the fact that there are many competing agendas here. Some of them relate to public safety, some of them relate to environmental protection, and some of them relate to people's desires to enrich themselves through subdivision, and all of these need to be considered on their merits.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Hamilton, did you wish to speak?
Yes, I'll keep it quick. I do thank the gentleman for providing their perspective on this. This is just going out for advertising. It enables various members of the public to provide their feedback. I'm interested in that feedback. We're not adopting the policy. So I think that it's an appropriate process, given that we are updating all our policies. I do take on board the frustration that some of the landowners must be experiencing. However, I also note that these matters are referred to DIWA and other authorities. So given the flood and floodway and flood fringe criteria, I think that putting this out for advertising is appropriate at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Gadgil.
Thank you, Your Worship. First and foremost, the town should advocate in the positioning of our planning scheme. The town should advocate for investment into our town. These residents are not wanting any more than what is allowed under the planning scheme with R5. They are wanting the ability to be able to, and if you like, look at investing on their acquired land that they have, which is everybody's right. And I'd suggest nobody should be purchasing any property, full stop, if you don't look at it as an investment, because that's purely and simply what property is. So you want to sort of use self-serving terminology. Well, of course, I would argue that everybody very much who has property is self-serving. This is about looking at the positioning statement this town will be putting out to our community. So we're going out to advertise. We're advertising a preferred position of this town, of this council, which is not advocating, first and foremost, for the rights of our property owners to actually develop under the planning scheme that currently exists. Existing planning scheme R5. That's what they're asking for. They're not coming here saying we want an increased R20, R25, R40, R100 or more. This is purely and simply being able to leverage off the planning scheme which is in place. We have heard numerous reports tonight regarding inconsistencies in the way the lines are drawn through the floodway and flood fringe. The approval process, well, the town should be the first stop, for standing up for people and actually saying we will adhere to what is able to be done within our planning scheme under R5. Now, if there's agencies outside of the town, well, that don't want that to occur, let those agencies tell our residents that that can't happen. Don't let it be the town, don't let it be this council that stands here and puts out a position and says, we will be the first stop in telling you no. Other agencies outside of this town, outside of this council, should be the ones that do that if they wish. Our position should be standing up for our ratepayers, our residents, and getting investment and beautification of the town, which I believe, certainly in lots this size, would very much deliver much needed within the town. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gadger. Is there anybody else who would like to speak for the motion or against the motion? Councillor Wilson, would you like to close? Okay. We'll put that to the vote then. All those in favour? We've got Councillor Wilson, Quinton, Hamilton, McWilliam and McLennan, and against is Councillor Gangell. So that is carried and we'll go out for advertising. Someone like to invite Councillor Barty back in? So councillors, we're just moving on to item 12.8, which is the food and health inspection fees. So this wasn't on the briefing agenda. Is there anything that the staff would like to speak to on this item?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This was a matter dealt with by Council earlier this year, where there was some relief given in terms of food and health inspection fees, and part of the resolution at the time was to revisit the matter by September this year. So that's the purpose of Council's report. In making the recommendation, we've had regard for the pushing back of phase five, and have therefore recommended that the fees be waived until the end of the year.
Fabulous, thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Quinton?
Just a question about timing. Assuming then that we approve this to the 31st of December, when would be their next bill after that? Would it be in January? How often do they pay their bills for these fees and charges? Or is it an annual fee that gets paid?
Sorry, through you, man. Quarterly.
Quarterly was the answer? Yep, thank you. So it would be at the end of March?
Okay, yeah, my question is around timing. So if it's that March, then they've got plenty of time after this is completed for them to pay their next bill. Okay, thank you.
Okay, if there's no further questions, is there a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Hamilton, seconded Councillor Wilson. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So councillors, moving on to item 13, notices of motion. I don't believe there have been any. Oh, Councillor Wilson.
I'll jump again, sorry, Your Worship.
So you want announcement for the next one?
I think it's 14.
Okay, so move on to 14 then. You have an announcement of a notice of motion, do you, Councillor?
I do, thank you, Your Worship, yes. So I would like to give notice of a motion for the next council meeting. And the motion reads as follows, and I've got a written version here to provide for our minute clerk. One, that the CEO prepare a report for council, A, outlining the requirements that a local government must meet in order for differential rates to be applied, and B, providing an analysis of the percentage of rateable properties in all categories that are on the minimum rate, and two, that the CEO convene a workshop for councillors to discuss the report once it has been prepared.
Thank you. Do you want the written copy, Amy?
I can't find that.
Assuming there is nothing further, so item 15, there's no urgent business. There's no confidential business tonight, so that brings us to the closure. But I just want to bring Council's attention to the fact that next month there are five Tuesdays, and instead of having our briefing and our Council meeting on the 3rd and the 4th, it will be on the 4th and the 5th weeks of the month. And just to reiterate that those people who did provide questions for tonight that aren't present will receive a response in writing this week.
Yes, yep. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, excellent. All right, well, that is a super quick meeting, so it is 7:06 and I'll close the meeting, and thank you everyone for your attendance. And welcome Tony and Zach. Lovely to have you here. So if you're not aware, Tony and Zach are from the Welga Executive.